Time for Community Matters, brought to you by the First National Bank of Beloit Mitchell County Hospital Health Systems. It's the last Wednesday in November. I announced that on the radio earlier today, but apparently I didn't realize it. Jason walks in. I'm like, what's Jason doing here? Oh, yeah, it's last Wednesday of November. Yeah. So Jason,
I almost didn't realize it either. So, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you did. And Jason Raby, the city manager of Beloit, is with us, as he is every Wednesday at the end of the month, to talk about what's going on in the city of Beloit. And, well, let's just first of all, glad you made it back from Iowa.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty hairy experience, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, you know, it was one of those, we were trying to, should we stay another day, or what should we do? I was like, well, let's, I was looking at the map, and the amazing thing was that whole storm was, like, right below Interstate 80. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got all the way to York, Nebraska, before we actually ran into anything, so that wasn't too bad. The last 100 miles felt like longer than the first,
you know,
350, but we made it, so that's all that matters, I guess.
I always say the worst thing about driving those conditions is not you,
yes,
because you know what you can handle. It's all the crazy people, correct, that think that, oh, the speed limit's 65. Well, I just better go 65.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
you really shouldn't. Or they follow too closely. They try to pass,
yeah,
and they shouldn't.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. The people go 65, the people go 15.
You right.
Know, those two,
exactly,
are the,
oh, that's,
yeah,
true.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's like,
no,
if we all just go around 40, 50, we'd be fine.
That's true. And then, of course, when you have your whole family with you, it makes you even more nervous as,
yeah,
a driver. Whereas if it's just you, you don't feel quite as nervous.
That's right.
I know how that works. And you saw the Hawkeyes beat Nebraska, huh?
I know it. Yeah, they held on. Yeah, that was a...
Get your money's
tough
worth
play
of that one.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. We went from looking like a blowout to, yeah, all of a sudden all my Nebraska friends started texting me, just, you know, talking trash that
talking
last 5 minutes.
They,
yeah,
came back and,
like,
tied,
oh, they
the
almost
game.
Got us. Yeah.
Congratulations. That's all they got to grab onto this year.
Yeah, Bethune-Cookman and Iowa, they almost beat us.
They're going to be good, though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they did look a lot sharper. They were that, yeah, that pass out in the flat was pretty killer.
They're going to be a good team, I think.
That's right.
The right
Which
coach.
Is good. That's good for the West. You know, that's what we need.
It,
so.
It is, unless they beat your team all the time.
Yeah.
You won't be saying that a year from now if
that's
you
true.
Lose to Nebraska.
That's true. Why not?
Okay, so what's going on? We know we're talking about the Isle of Lights. That's open and going. And and so just tell us what's going on in there in Beloit right now.
Yeah, I think, yeah, hitting on the big stuff. Obviously, Christmas was a big deal, and all the people. I mean, it's just amazing to see all the effort that goes into it. And I think, you know, just trying to turn Beloit into kind of a, you know, Christmas town or whatever. So lots of lights everywhere. And hopefully, I think it got some play in the different media outlets just like it did last year. Hopefully that drives a lot of visitors to town, and they can participate in a lot of the other things that are going on. So just, you know, huge thanks to everybody that does that. You know, I know our staff participates, people from the college, obviously volunteers. So it's a pretty cool community thing that happens. And so, yeah, it's been great.
I know my son and my wife help. She's at the staff there at Beloit Elementary, not elementary, but the junior high,
sure,
high school, whatever. And then the junior high, I know, was involved. Maybe,
yep,
the high school was too.
Yep, I think
and
so.
And we were talking about how it was a lot of work. And
yeah,
it's like, well, that's you know, it is a lot of work. There's a,
yeah,
lot of cords, a lot of signs, a lot of displays.
Yeah, this stuff doesn't. Hopefully, when people drive through, that's just, it's like anything in life. You go through stuff. You're like, oh, this is nice. I can look at this. You don't realize the hours and hours that,
uh-huh,
go into it and all the. I mean, I think there's 4 or 5, I mean, I'm sure somebody will correct this, but 4 or 5 semi-trailers of stuff,
oh,
you know,
probably.
I mean, you see those things kind of parked in the middle at night, mm-hmm, you can barely see them, but I mean, it's just incredible.
It is.
And now it's kind of spreading out into other parts of town, so.
Yeah. You know,
if
Chevy Chase ever came by, it would blow his mind.
Oh, yeah.
He watched,
yeah,
Lampoon's Christmas, yeah, Vacation with all those lights and,
yeah,
can't get anything to work and all those cords, you know, string around his house. There's,
yeah,
a lot of cords.
Well, and the interesting thing that's really helped that whole deal is a lot of those have turned to LED. You know, they've either, the new, mm-hmm, ones are getting are LED, or they've rewired a lot of them. That's what a lot of those volunteers that work every day do.
Mm-hmm.
They sit there and fix them or rewire them, which is just impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't quote me, but it's shocking how we track, you know, how much electricity,
right,
is used for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at least cut in half, if not down to a third of what it used to be.
Oh, that's great.
Which is pretty, we all know that with LEDs in our house and everything else,
mm-hmm,
but it makes a lot easier to cord all that stuff together because,
yeah,
there's not so much load on one
that's
individual
true.
Display. But
that's true. Well, it's a great thing to have in the city of Beloit, and it's great for all of North Central Kansas. People from far away will come.
Yeah.
And there's always new displays each and every year. And eventually, I joke, you're going to run out of space. Where are you going to put all these displays? But that would be a good problem to have. And we do appreciate all the people that put in the work because,
yeah,
you know, a lot of people that are doing that stuff are volunteers. They're not getting paid for it. They'll
no.
be out there in the cold and they'll be manning the stations and everything,
yeah,
at night when you come in to peruse and drive,
yeah,
around. It's pretty neat.
And I'm sure if you have a passion for Christmas lights, they're always looking for,
yeah,
new people to help.
That's
with,
right.
So.
If you ever want to get a hold of the right people. What else is going on?
Yeah,
here?
I think the big thing, you know, we had a couple weeks ago was the K-State students did their presentation. I know we,
mm-hmm,
had a huge turnout. We had that at the Porter House. I think we had had, you know, roughly, you know, about 100 people come through. It's just kind of a come and go, and just kind of a it was a class project for them. So we were really fortunate to have that, but also it was a just kind of a vision, you know, idea board, you know, mm-hmm. if anything, for the city. So those are actually displayed right now down at the municipal building. So if people are interested, or, you know, their lunch break, or pass it through to pay their city bill or do whatever, they can come read those and kind of look at them. There's five different teams that put together some ideas for kind of the sort of the downtownish area into Chautauqua Park, and how do we kind of combine those two and make it more of a draw. And you know, we kind of have that Chautauqua Park. It's kind of a hidden jewel. I mean, we find it during mm-hmm. the Isle of Lights, but after that, it's kind of tucked right. away. So a lot of really great ideas and stuff that we can build on, or kind of make it more fit Beloit. You know, obviously there's some big ideas that probably can't happen or won't happen, but it was fun to see their energy and to see mm-hmm. the community's response to it. So I was really proud of that. And so we'll kind of see what happens. And kind of building off of that is... We just received word that, and we put in for a summer intern to come work for the city. Dane Hansen Foundation pays all their wages. It's a really good deal. So I'm kind of broadcasting this out here. So if anybody has a nephew or niece or a grandson or granddaughter or whatever it is, or son or daughter, to be looking for this. So any of the universities in the state of Kansas are eligible for this, not just K-Staters, but what we put in for was somebody that's probably a landscape architect or something like that to really help lead the charge on our kind of a sports complex redesign and update. So we're really excited about that, because I think kind of the same as those students did for this visioning project, kind of that third party, mm-hmm. you know, removed with some expertise and some talent is really going to help us, you know, get that to where we need it to be, and kind of guide that process with public meetings and stakeholder meetings. And so hopefully we get a really good person. And so that's actually just gotten posted here. I think December 1st is when it gets posted. So hopefully that'll be really exciting. I know that SVED and the Chamber and Community Development, Heather Hartman, they've gotten a one themselves for some branding and signage and wayfinding to kind of wrap everything together in our community. You see that in a lot of communities. So between those two, we should have a really exciting summer with some of that stuff. So
that's good.
Yeah.
You know, going back to the presentation with the K-State students there at the Porterhouse that night,
yeah.
There's like five or six, I think it was, that, yep. that you could go around and rotate. And one of the things that stood out to me, and I already knew this, and I've thought this for a long time, so I'm going to put the onus on you guys here a little bit, but it is, and I hear this from people that come into town that don't live in Beloit or from the area. You drive on the highway, you have no idea that park exists, Chautauqua.
Yeah. Yep.
You have no idea what's in that park.
Yep.
And you don't even know where's the major entryway in the Beloit. There's no yeah. welcoming sign saying City of Beloit. Like yeah. I drove into Manhattan the other day. Yeah. I come from Topeka. There's this big brick stone, City of Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
I know where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
But the park is off the beaten path down to the south of town. And even if you're not looking to your right, even if you look to your right, you really can't yeah. see the park.
Yep.
And there really needs to be. And that's one of the things the students said is yeah. when they came into town, they're like, right away we were like, you need signage, because mm-hmm. if you don't have a water park and Chautauqua Park right off the highway, you're not going to see it, most yep. people, and they don't know it's there. But if there was signage there to say, you know, Isle of Lights, big sign every year, it's up all year long, and it says the dates it's open, pointing an arrow to where it needs to go, I'm sure that's some of the things you guys have talked about, but it would be very helpful. And even right there outside the park, when you're actually near it, and
yeah.
you don't even see the water park.
Yeah, like on 14.
All the trees,
yeah,
yep. You don't even know what, if you're outside yep. of town, you have no idea that water park exists. It would be great to have a nice big sign showing some slides or whatever you need to do. Yay, there we go. There's yeah. the water park, because yeah. it is hard to find if you're not from here.
Yeah, I think there's two parts to that. I mean, there's we had First Impressions about a year and a half ago, and they kind of highlighted that. And then obviously these guys kind of came up with a little bit more of a starting point package, mm-hmm. which was kind of nice for the student that will come in here this summer to really help us pull it together. But and they call it there's entrance signs, obviously, mm-hmm. which we have, I think, one, and we can do better with that.
Yeah.
But then there's also what they call wayfinding signs. And you'll see that in a lot of communities, even small ones now. I mean, it's mm-hmm. kind of been a thing that communities do lately. It kind of helps you get across your message and your branding, but also kind of point to people to where, hey, here's where our, you know, our sports complex is,
right.
or our downtown is, or mm-hmm. you know, a historical something or whatever, you know, the pool or
yeah.
or park. And so they kind of came up with some concepts I think they can build off of, and I really like what they came up with. I mean, they're just, you know, they kind of pegged on the BE in Beloit, you know, mm-hmm. so that B word,
yeah.
and they had come up with some, you know, even like street banners that we could eventually brand off of, and you know, it's like, you know, be different or be, you know, whatever Beloit likes to call themselves. You keep using that B word and have just Beloit above it and kind of have that B portion highlighted. And I thought that was a really innovative look at it. And again, you get that outside perspective. And I completely agree with you. We got that, you know, some of those hidden jewels and you don't know it unless you drive by. So, or not even if you drive by, unless you drive into it. So, you know, we got good camping down there. We got all sort, you know, frisbee golf down there.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, they don't know it either. So, that'll be really exciting to see what they come up with for that.
Yeah, it'd be good. Now, with all those ideas, how do you pay for?
Yeah, well, that's just it.
Because you got to find the money in the budget or grants or whatever it may be. And, because people don't want to see their taxes go up and this and that and whatever.
Correct. Yep. I think that's the key thing, and that's what we really told the students is like you can dream big because you know thankfully we're in that county area with Dane Hansen where we can at least try to go after some of that stuff. Not saying it's going to come to fruition, but really there's not necessarily a limit. I think if we have a really good plan, and so that's kind of what we're going to do next is kind of. Probably after Christmas, when everything settles down here, have a session where we pull people that signed up and showed up and looked at those things, and obviously we'll broadcast it so people that couldn't make it could do it. We'll kind of have like a strategic doing meeting where people will take all those ideas and concepts, you know, whatever they are, a dozen, 15 of them, and kind of let people say, hey, I'm interested in leading this or that, you know, and so maybe we'll come up out of that five ideas that people really want to drive. Mm-hmm. And so they'll go through that, what Dane Hansen likes to call a strategic doing process or, you know, what we kind of call it, you know, an action committee or action planning group to figure out how we're going to, you know, kind of like they made the Wakanda, so, you know, the historical thing come to fruition or different, you know, hey, the pool, you know, five, absolutely. 6 years ago, that was another big one, you know what I mean? So, you know, get that, those committees or say, hey, you know what, we really need to get the science thing figured out and, you know, how the energy and the experience of that student coming here pretty soon, so, you know, they'll be able to lead that, or we're really interested in, you know, trying to make sure that the river's more visible to downtown, we're going to lead that charge or whatever it is. So, that'll be really good.
Jason Raby, City Manager at Beloit, with us on Community Matters, brought to you by the First National Bank of Beloit, Mitchell County Hospital Health Systems. Going back to the sports complex, and you and I have talked about this, of course, and we've been involved with baseball and softball and all that, but what's when you're talking about somebody that try to explain that for me as to what's maybe some of the vision for people that aren't familiar with your and my conversations as to what we're talking about with sports complex. When you just hear sports complex, some people may be like, well, where's the sports complex? What are we exactly talking about? I've been in Beloit. I've driven by. What are we just talking about?
Yeah. Here? Well, I think that's actually a really good point. Just saying that is, you know, what is the sports complex and where it is? I mean, obviously we kind of drive through. It's kind of, I consider it, you know, near in between the football field, you know, the football field, the high school football field there, you know, all the way over to the high school, really. I mean, it's kind of in between that and the fairgrounds, it's kind of in that area. Yeah, spread out. But there's a lot of pieces there. Sure. And so it's kind of a twofold part. First of all, you know, over the years, we've kind of downsized some of those practice fields that we used to have, you know, either up, you know, where the North Campus area was, from what I understand, or back down by the Armory. There must have been some practice fields I've kind of read or seen historically. So as you and I know, and we can show that calendar anytime, when it's go time between softball and baseball and big boy baseball and all, you know, all that stuff, it's packed out. I mean, you can hardly find a spot. It really can't find a spot. And so we're down on that. And so kind of what, and the second part of that is a lot of communities are really using that as a tool to drive, you know, economic activity to their area. Yeah. So by hosting tournaments or whatever it is, and that takes work, and that doesn't mean we have one every weekend, obviously, but we can get involved with some groups, and there's some different things. I know Lucille Heller's talked to some outside groups that really push that and drive that, and there's towns, you know, Concordia, I've been to other smaller, Clyde, I can't remember all the time, you know, towns over the last 2 years I've been in that smaller, our size or smaller, that are hosting these tournaments, and you're talking, you know, dozens of teams. And that's a lot of people, and so we kind of miss out on that. I know there's some smaller stuff. I know that I think Blaze tries to put on a tournament, does put on a tournament, et cetera. So, but it's just not ideally set up for it. So, we've been adding pieces, obviously scoreboard, improving bleachers. I think we just got Blaze just sort of helped pay for a new batting cage over by one of the fields. So that'll help take some of that stress off. But so kind of what we're looking at is saying, hey, what I want the student to help us with is kind of guide a stakeholder team saying, hey, here's all the pieces that we have. Here's all the space that we have. How do we utilize it? How do we optimize it? You know, I don't think we are in a position to say, hey, let's go build, you know, from scratch somewhere else and build a pinwheel. We're going to soak up so much money to build two or three fields, but maybe we just need to add a field or two to what we have and optimize what we have and, you know, fix the parking situation. And there's a lot of stakeholders in there. I mean, you know, it's leased ground from the fair board. It's the schools involved. You know, we got umbrella organizations, Lions or Blaze or whatever, Rotary, that have host, different leagues on these fields, and then the city kind of maintains it and kind of has a lease and kind of owns something, mm-hmm. Maybe one piece of it. So there's a lot of pieces with it. But the thing I'm looking at is kind of say, hey, take a visual, a map, of that, cut out the pieces of the fields to scale that we need, soccer fields, throwing areas for the high school track team, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And where can we, in parking lots, where can we put all this stuff to where everybody's mm-hmm. like, yeah, that makes sense, or that should improve it. And that makes sure that we still get the, the five or six fields that we need or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I think that'll be a really productive session, because once we kind of have that plan, I think there's a lot of stuff that we can do or we can get funding for or mm-hmm. whatever. To make it come to fruition. But kind of having that outside guide is going to be really important, I think.
Or in the case of Pratt, have somebody donate 30 acres of land. That would be a good start.
Yeah.
Right near Beloit. And there is some farmland that is right next to Beloit. That would be really good access off the highway.
Yeah.
I have a vision, but I know nobody wants to give up that
somebody
money.
That's...
It's land that they own and they rightfully want money for, I'm sure. But if anybody would be well off and want to donate land,
I'm sure
the city of Beloit would be cool with that. And we could work on starting to try to build something.
We can name it, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Joe Farmer Fields,
Right after him, because that's amazing what they got Pratt. But it 30-some acres of donated. That was a good head start for them, no question about it.
Yep.
Anything else you want to add before we let you go?
No, I think, again, thanks for everybody's patience on the snowstorm that we had and trying to get past that. I mean, it was a lot of wet, heavy snow trying to get moved around. And
big shout out to the
electric crews.
Yeah, man, they were out there. Man.
Yeah, if you've seen, obviously, I think everybody's seen pictures of it. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd want to be out there too bad or anybody else, but... kudos to them for really, coming up with a solution that they weren't sure was going to work, and thankfully it worked and it held. And they yesterday installed the permanent solution, so that worked out really well. But thankfully everything kind of really held up pretty well. I mean, we had that little bit of outage, but that was a pretty gnarly storm, and glad everybody made it through. So
no shave November is a couple of days left. You shaving that December 1, or are you letting her go?
We'll see. Yeah, we're gonna
we'll see.
Yeah,
ask your wife.
Yeah, exactly. We'll probably at least clean it up. It's a little gnarly in some areas, but
that's not as gnarly as some people's beers. I'll tell you right now.
Yeah,
you got a couple of Fritos stuck in your beard.
Really need to well, I've seen this trend now. With these little Christmas lights that people put in their beards. I don't know about that.
Now that I'm gonna say a big no to that.
Yeah, that's
I don't care
gross.
Who you are. Yeah, how great that beard looks. I would say a no to that one. All right, man. Well, we'll figure out the schedule-wise to have you in December because it'll be a little bit tricky with Christmas and all that, but we'll figure it out. We'll have Jason back. So if we do not see you between now and Christmas, Merry Christmas to you and your family, and safe travels if you're going anywhere.
Yeah, thanks, Wade. You too.
Jason Rabe, the city manager of Beloit, our guest today on Community Matters.